والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وقال العلماء استكمل طالب الشر من الإسلام في وقت during the past, I think, 2 days about the objectives of this particular gathering and this get-together, which is the Israa of an individual. And in this Israa, if you look at how the ulama of the soul have programmed the, let's call it, the systems for Israa, there are a number of states that means a number of practices that stage your Israa. And among these, we have a thing called Muraqabah. But before I go further, let me explain also this, the aims of Israa. These are things that the ulama of the soul have taken us through the Ijtihad. It's not something that you will find, not everything will be found in the Quran. A lot of things they take through Israa and Muraqabah is one of them. There are hadith that speak about Muraqabah. But if you look at how they have structured this Muraqabah, there are different types of Muraqabah. You have the Muraqabah in mosques, which is a famous thing, we all know that, and I'm sure we were advised to do this. When a person takes bed by the sheikh, then one of the practices that the sheikh will give this one of the Ma'murah will be Muraqabah at night, and that is Muraqabah in mosques. You contemplate mosques in death. You have Muraqabah Islami and so many different types of Muraqabah. And these are all things, as we said, that come out through the Ijtihad of these Mashayikh. Just like you find in Fiqh, in Hadith, Usul al-Hadith, the Quran has taken out Usul al-Fiqh. Many of these things came out through Ijtihad. If a person comes to you and says, if you say that the Hadith is Sahih, so when it mentions in the Quran in Hadith that this is the concept or this is the definition of the Sahih Hadith, this is all through Ijtihad Hadith which happened. The Fuqaha of these, they have taken out the Usul of Fiqh. Where did it differ? It's not something that has been categorically mentioned in the Quran and Hadith. It's all through the Ijtihad. Now the soul is another field, another science of deen, with an online with Ijtihad, but the unique part of the soul is this, that the Ijtihad of the Muhaddithin, the Ijtihad of the Fuqaha, that has come to an end. There's no Ijtihad. Now you can't say I'm going to bring Ijtihad in Egypt. I was bringing Ijtihad in the Hadith, in the Surah of Hadith. But the Ijtihad of the soul, it hasn't come to an end. Because it depends on the understanding, the mind, it depends on the ilham that Allah gives to the sheikh. So the sheikh will advise different types of cures for imbuhi, and all that comes to Ijtihad. I remember our Hazrat mentioned about one of the great khulafa of the Tamil of the Quran, Ilan Rashtawan, Rahimahullah, was from Bangladesh. And Hazrat Muawiyah Rashtawan was very potent when he had another daughter. His wife gave birth to a daughter. And the daughter was about 2 or 3 years old when he wrote to the Sheikh of the Tamil of the Quran. And he said that, Hazrat, I find that my love for this daughter is too much. I love her so much. And my fear is that it might exceed the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can imagine being awliya Allah. To love your daughter is a natural thing. And you are happy with that. I mean, any father would love his daughter. And no one would ever think, no one would ever stop to compare love for my daughter or love for Allah. It's only a person who's keen on his israr, who's keen on his akhlaq and his taqwiyah that will think like this. So he wrote to his chef, that's why it's so, people that have their chef that is alive, they must really make shukr to Allah. And they must make further, they must appreciate the chef, they continuously taking advice from him. It's a big folly of people to have a chef
that he is alive and that he is vibrant in giving you advice, and you certainly ignore the advice, so you don't even worry about writing to the chef or responding to the chef. So here also the family with this concern that at this I feel my love for the daughter is more than the love for Allah. So at this family of the recognize, it is great for Allah. Now this is the benefit of the chef and how Allah gives them that ishtihad to guide people on specific occasions and to guide specific people. So it is made mulaqaba of this verse of the Quran Kareem, Kullu man alayhi afan. Kullu man alayhi afan, which means everyone that exists on this earth shall perish. Everyone will die, everyone will leave this dunya. So obviously, you are keen, you are sincere, you took the advice of the chef. And a few months later, he wrote that he said, now they, what we call the Akhidah, they baptize and may not from their daughter, and may not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Muraqaba is one of those things that the ulama have produced through the Ijtihad, the ulama of the soul. And as I said, this is the remarkable thing of the soul, that this Ijtihad, in the guidance of the Mu'in, in the tarbiyah of the Mu'in, it will continue. And there will always be people. Again, I quote our Hazrat Ali, when he was in Cape Town a few years before he passed away, he was speaking on this verse of the Quran in Kareem, Ya Ayyuhalladhina Amanu Taqullaha wa Kunu Ma'a As-Sadiqeen. And he said that Allah says, Ya Ayyuhalladhina Amanu, O people of Iman, Taqullaha, fear Allah, wa Kunu Ma'a As-Sadiqeen, and be with the Sadiqeen. That means, keep the country of the pious people. So he said, the time of the Quran, it's part of the Holy Quran. The Quran will remain till the hour. And this concept and this injunction of the Quran will also stay here till the hour. It's not going to go away. It won't be abrogated or cancelled out. Which means now, this is a subtle reference to the fact from Allah Ta'ala that in every era of the Muslim community, there will always be people, pious people with whom you can associate, from whom you can get guidance and tarbiyah. So we make dua Allah keep these people among us, we make dua Allah Ta'ala make us among those who can benefit from the pious people in our communities. So I was speaking about muraqaba. The one that I mentioned, what you mentioned here is muraqaba al-hayat. You have muraqaba al-maut, muraqaba al-maut. That is muraqaba al-life. What is that? It's actually muraqaba of the maqsad of life. You ask yourself, what is the maqsad of my existence? What is the purpose of my living? And this is mentioned in the Quran Kareem, where Allah says, وَمَا صَلَاتُ الْجِنَّةِ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. From here, they take out, as they said, those who are not the soul, they make an ijtihad. And from here, they think what a beautiful concept that Allah is saying, I have not created jinn and man illa liya'budun, except for my worship. And I'm sure Allah will tell you that in the tafsir of this, Hazrat Ibn Abbas used to say, illa liya'budun means illa liya'budun, so that they may recognize me, they may gain my ma'rifah. So what we say here is, use the fire to contemplate on the purpose of your existence. Like Muhammad mentioned, a beautiful thing, that when you wake up in the morning, that this also muraqaba, make a need that today, I'm not going to cause harm to anyone. That's like a muraqaba, because once it comes into your mind, once a need comes into your mind, automatically, depending on how sincere you are, it will affect your aman, it will affect your behavior. So let's contemplate every morning or every night, what is the maqsad, what is the objective of my life? Why am I being created? Why am I here? So Allah says, I have not created man and jinn illa liya'budun, so that they may worship me. Now we take another concept from this particular verse or this word in the ayah, liya'budun. Agada liya'budun, the Arabic students will know it comes from the root word abdun. Ayn bar dal. And abd means a slave. Abd is not a servant. A servant in Arabic is called a khadim. Like Hazrat Anas,
He was the father of Rasulullah. His mother came and said, "Ya Rasulullah, I present my son in your treatment, make him your father." Ask is even more, it's more profound, it is a more profound meaning than a servant. It's a slave of Allah. So you tell your son, every morning, Ya Allah, you created me to be your slave. So let me live the life of a slave. And what is the life of a slave? Basically, a slave is at the beck and call of his master 24/7. It's not like a servant or a worker. I work from 5 to 8, and I'm 8 to 5, and I'm off now. After hours, I don't do any work. A slave is at the best of all. That means he's got to answer his master at any time of the day. Just take a few things, examples. A slave, he eats whatever the master gives him, and he's content with it. Where does the master say he must sleep? He sleeps. Whenever he says he must sleep, he will sleep. And he's not going to complain. Say, it's my sleeping time now, now you wake me up. If he's sleeping, the master wakes him up. Well, he realizes I'm a slave, I've got no option in the matter. So he goes and answers the call of his master. He dresses, he wears whatever the master gives him to wear. He's got no spending. Whatever the master spends on me, I'm happy with that. If I have nothing in my pocket, it's no big deal because I'm a slave, I don't need to have anything in my pocket. So if you live a life like this, I'm the slave of Allah. So that means any minute of the day, whatever the command of Allah is directed to me, I will fulfill that command. We have a beautiful talk on Islam. So you are interacting with a person and that person angers you. So immediately the command from Allah comes, I'm the slave of Allah. The command means I must control my anger. I must react. I must respond in a nasty way. I must control the state of mind. My feelings must be suppressed. Remember, anger is something that boils up. It's well up within you. It's emotion. So that's not the sin. To get angry is not the sin. The sin is to vent that anger on a person in manners and ways that are unlawful. So, slave mind to slave, this is the command of Allah. Whatever clothing I've got here, Fadana, I'm content that I can say whatever he gave me to wear, I'm happy with it. The food I get for the day, Fadana, I'm content with that because I'm a slave of Allah. So in this manner, make the salah on a daily basis. In fact, you can do it more than one time during the day. Make the salah, that Ya Allah, I am your slave. And I will love. You have created me for this whole purpose, maqsad of being your slave, and you are a slave till the time you are set free. When are we set free? There's a famous hadith, and we always quote this. We that do this best time, we want to show you how we do the prison work. A dunya is a prison moving, whatever the result is. The dunya is a prison for the moving. So the moment we came into this dunya, the moment we became bodies, then we got a prison sentence. Because it's a life sentence. So that sentence will only end when we die. Once we die, we are free. What is that freedom? It is the freedom of the Akhirah. We make this dua like Allah said in the Quran about this hadith of Najjar, the great word of Allah in the time of Nabi Isa. When he died, he fell into the Jannah. They say, Mata was also the Jannah. He died to give him into Jannah. That's what is release from prison and freedom into Jannah. So we are saying we live in this prison right till the time of God, and we are subject to this position that Allah has created for us, being a slave. Our whole purpose in life is to live and slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The unique part of this type of slavery is that there's so much freedom, there's so much comfort in this type of slavery. You wear what you want, you eat what you want, you love as you want, you have no ambition that you cannot even achieve. So we make dua to Allah Ta'ala with these words, that Allah Ta'ala grants myself first, all of us, the ability to understand the objective of our life, the purpose of our life, which is being a slave. And Allah give us that strength, that quwwah, that tawfiq, and that tawfiq to live our life as true slaves.